Blog Talk Radio.
College football fans, welcome to College Football Today Live, powered by the fans. Congrats to Ohio State. They got it done. They finished an incredible season, and it's an incredible story. If you don't know everything that happened with this team, well, we can talk about it a little bit tonight as we recap the national championship game, the first ever completion of the college football playoff. It's done. It's in the history books. Now we get to sit back and say, hey, what can we do differently? What can we do to make it better? I don't know that you can make it much better. It was an incredible season. It was an incredible just road to get to this game and just how the season unfolded. First of all, with Ohio State and with Urban Meyer, I think we have to start to take Urban Meyer seriously as one of the greatest coaches in college football. And I think he might surpass Nick Saban when it comes to just one of the best coaches. The coaching job that he was able to do this season was probably his best ever. And that takes him back to when he was at Florida and what he was able to do at Florida. Even when he was at Utah before that, this is probably one of his greatest. I think it is the greatest coaching job by any coach, but it very well could be. And by that, you look at what he had to do and what he had to deal with and what he had to keep his team focused through. Coming into the season, Braxton Miller, he's a Heisman candidate, big-time playmaker. He's done before the season even starts, season-ending injury. Insert JT Barrett. Barrett, he took his time to grow. It took a little time for him to catch on. They dropped a game to Virginia Tech, and this team could have folded it up right then and there and said, you know what, that was it. That was the season. They didn't. And Urban Meyer, these quarterbacks, they're not all three the same type of quarterbacks. Braxton Miller is, you know, he's a speedster. He's faster. JT Barrett, similar. Maybe a better passer. He proved to be incredible this season. And now we've got this guy who we joked all through the last couple weeks of the season, the last week of the season and the conference championship game and the first round of the playoffs, and just called him the third stringer. But Cardale Jones, you look at his resume now, three games he's played in, a conference championship, a playoff game, and the playoff championship game, the national championship. Those are his three games on his resume, and he's 3-0, and he's brilliant in all those games. Looked like he's been playing college football for 3 or 4 years. Minus the, I guess we can start labeling it, the Jameis Winston fail, where he just dropped the ball. I don't know if that's something that Oregon's got a little cheat code or a Buffalo Wild Wings button that they're pushing on the sideline right at the right moment. But, man, you know, Jameis Winston fall flat on his back and drop the ball. It looked incredibly comical. And then you had Cardale Jones, same situation, under some pressure, backpedaling, trying to make a play, just drops the ball. Somebody ought to look into that. Buffalo Wild Wings might be responsible for that. How many Buffalo Wild Wings do they have out there in Oregon? How many of them were mashing the button when that happened? Oh, well, but seriously, everything that Ohio State had to go through. Then you had JT Barrett get injured at the end of the season, and here comes Cardale Jones, the third stringer. And then you had a player commit suicide the week of the conference championship or the week after, one of the two. I can't remember when exactly that was, but it was right around that conference championship week. And wow, just everything that this team had to endure, go through, refocus, change offensive schemes just a little bit. They had to tweak this, tweak that. And then on the fly to get Cardale Jones in there and for him to play how he did in all three of his games. There's no question. There's no question now with the playoffs complete and the way Ohio State carried themselves the back half of the season. There's no question that the committee, they definitely got it right with Ohio State being in there. For Oregon and Marcus Mariota, it's becoming their theme. It's becoming a problem, and it's something they're going to be known for going ahead. You know, Kirk Herbstreit talked about it after they beat and dismantled Florida State, and he said, we can't look at Oregon as a soft team anymore. I'm sorry. That team looked soft against Ohio State. Florida State has not been known for defense all season long. So what they did to Florida State, sure, that's great. But Florida State looked bad all season. Did we see a different Florida State team when they played Oregon? No, we saw the exact same thing we had seen all season long. And Oregon, look, hats off to them for getting to the championship game. Hats off to Marcus Mariota for playing an exceptional game. It wasn't one of his best games. He still threw for 300 yards. But, at the end of the day, against tougher defensive teams, he doesn't get it done. And that's, I don't know how much that is on him or just not having the team around him to play at that level. But the situation in Oregon is this. If Oregon wants to win a national championship, they've got to hope that maybe one year that they do make it, that whoever comes in there doesn't have a defense, doesn't have a good defense, doesn't have a championship caliber defense. Look, we were ripping Ohio State a few weeks, just a few weeks before the national championship game and a few weeks prior to their conference championship game, saying we question their defense. We question their defense. They play in the Big Ten. They play in the Big Ten. Big Ten this, Big Ten that. Sorry, they looked like the dominant powerhouse in that game. They took care of business. They were physical up front and on both sides of the ball. And how about their running back? How about Ezekiel Elliott? Talk about a loaded team going into next season. Ohio State. And boy, do they have a controversy at quarterback next season. Wow. Three quarterbacks on your roster right now. Braxton Miller, we're hearing the rumors now that he's not really sure about the transfer yet. We should know here pretty soon, but the transfer may not transfer. And my question is, wow, why? You're in a situation where three QBs could step in there and play and could win you a national championship. Actually, I would tend to argue that maybe Cardale Jones or JT Barrett is the better fit and that Braxton Miller really isn't the guy that they need there at Ohio State anymore. He's a good quarterback, great runner, but, they looked really dangerous this season without him. That'll be an interesting storyline to follow up on and to keep an eye on over the next coming weeks. Obviously, we're all now in that state of, okay, the season is over. Ohio State fans jumping for joy. They're excited. They have an entire offseason to enjoy this. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to finally be relevant again. Look, Florida State last offseason when they won national championship, yes, it was a great offseason. I enjoyed that offseason greatly. Ohio State fans, you have to enjoy this one. You really do. You knocked off the SEC's best. You knocked off Alabama, who talked all that trash, and you heard it from SEC fans that it's the weaker Big Ten. You don't stand a chance. You knock them off. Then you knock the best team out of the West off, and you are undisputed national champions again. So congrats to Ohio State. Tonight is trivia night on College Football Today Live. We will open up the phone lines, 773-897-6179. We will play that anytime we get a caller in that wants to play. We will stop what we're doing, and we will play. The simple rules, the way that'll work, the way we'll do it. You get three questions. You have to answer three questions correctly to be a winner. If you answer one wrong, you're an automatic loser, and we will press on to the next caller. So, and you know what? The questions aren't, the questions aren't going to be ridiculous, but there are going to be some good brain teasers out there and some good questions that will definitely make you think. They're not going to be three easy questions. They will get more difficult as you answer more questions correctly. So let's have fun with that. I'm putting that on you guys tonight. If you can't, look, we can only have so much fun until the fans, you know, the fans got to start participating here. Simple as that. So again, that number, 773-897-6179. Let's get those phone lines loaded. 773-897-6179. And we will tackle some college football trivia. I know that's fun. But we're entering that off season where, you know, it's just we got months upon months until we see another college football season start and another college football playoff start. So yes, we are into that period where we're just some of us go into withdrawal, some of us just crawl into a hole. And, before you do, let's enjoy it. Let's have fun with the college football trivia tonight. Of course, right around the corner, National Signing Day for college football recruiting. That's a big deal. That's become a huge event, by the way. I mean, obviously the way ESPN covers it, but it's just something there that gives college football fans to grasp hold of during the offseason, along with spring football. Spring football is not too far away. Spring football will give you just enough tease for you to go, yeah, I think our team's really got another shot. You know, we got it. We're in for next year, right? Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that too, and how fun spring football can be or can't be for some schools. So we'll get into that. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to College Football Today Live, powered by the fans. Again, phone calls. If you want to call in, participate in College Football Today's live trivia, 773-897-6179. And we'll be right back. You're listening to College Football Today, powered by the fans. Welcome back to College Football Today Live, powered by the fans. got a few Facebook messages to get out there, and I appreciate those so early on in the show. Usually I don't see those start rolling in until the end of the show, but I've got a few, and I should echo that one of them was a post to our page, so I don't know if this fan just stole it from the post or if he's really just trying to stir the pot and talk about it on the show tonight. But this was not a topic that I was originally going to get into. I appreciate them bringing this up, but they wanted to mention, and they ranked the conferences in their mind, their opinion of what they thought, how strong the conferences were in 2014. Now, again, this isn't ranking the conferences over the last decade. I think it's pretty obvious who has been the best, which conference has been the best over the last decade. But this person, the way this fan has described it and the way he's reasoned with it is this. This is 2 years now in a row that we've seen the SEC fall. This is the second consecutive year that we've seen the SEC start to go in a downward spiral. That, you know, last year when Florida State played Auburn was pretty good, Alabama was pretty good, but you didn't see a lot of other teams really competing and making a strong statement. This year, you saw a lot of that too with their non-conference schedule in the SEC. And I should preface it with this. This is not to bash the SEC over the last decade. Clearly, there is no argument. There is no leg to stand on. The SEC is the best conference in the last decade. No other conference has comes close to what they've done. So with that, I give you this person's conference rankings. Now, I saw Eric on our Facebook page had posted this earlier, and of course it stirred up quite the turmoil. But he ranks the conferences like this. The Big Ten is number one, Pac-12 number two, ACC number three, SEC number four, Big 12 dead last of the Power Five conferences. I don't necessarily disagree with all of those. I believe maybe I would move the SEC up to number three and maybe move the ACC down to number four. Or it's so close, tight in there. The ACC had a really good, strong record against the SEC this year. That was great for the ACC to earn some respect back. But I think that's kind of a wash with the way Florida State showed up in the or didn't show up in the Rose Bowl. Or at least they showed up for a half anyway. But, again, I wasn't going to talk about this. This is so totally shooting from the hip tonight on the state of the SEC and what is the SEC going to look like going forward. Is this a trend? Is the SEC on its downward swing of those dynasty years where we saw such dominance from this conference that won so many BCS national championships and won seven in a row? No doubt, it was an incredible run. But is the SEC on a downward spiral? That is a great question. And to be fair, you look at the numbers. Yes, there seems to be something to that. What's the SEC going to look like next year? Well, Alabama's got a few things to take care of. I don't think Alabama's going to go into next season with any more questions than they had coming into this season. You know, quarterback, that's going to be a topic for discussion there. Ole Miss and Mississippi State, are they going to have their seasons the same way they did this year? Is Dak Prescott, is Mississippi State going to be back to what they were and win 8-9 football games? That's tough to see. Those teams like that, you don't expect to see them do that. Year in and year out, they're not those kind of teams. They've never been those kind of teams. Tennessee's on the rise. Butch Jones has them going in the right direction. Is UT poised for an SEC East championship? Are they going to win the SEC East? Georgia. Where's Mark Richt fit into all of this? I'm telling you, the SEC and Steve Spurrier, I know it's strange to say hot seat with him. He's not on a hot seat. South Carolina loves Steve Spurrier. They wouldn't trade anybody for Steve Spurrier and what he's been able to do at South Carolina. I think they're just happy to be relevant, but this year they weren't really that relevant. They lost very important games. and they couldn't get it done in a down SEC East. It's really interesting to look at. Yeah, Arkansas is maybe on the rise. Maybe Arkansas takes the place of what Mississippi State and Ole Miss were able to do this year. Maybe Arkansas comes in next year, wins 8 and 9 football games, and becomes a respectable team again. They certainly looked impressive in their bowl game. They ended the season on a high note. Look, that's going to be a storyline. Whether you like me talking about it or not, and whether you think that I'm just this guy who's out here to destroy the SEC's image, look, you can't destroy the SEC's image. I said last year after Florida State won the national championship, and I've said it all season long this year, one season doesn't make or break for the SEC. Knocking off one SEC team in the national championship last year did not dethrone the SEC. 2 years now, no SEC champion for the national championship, you start to go, okay, there might be something to this. If we go next year and an SEC team doesn't win the national championship and the SEC looks like they did this year, then we can start making those discussions and those arguments. And I think we'll hear more about that. If you want to chime in, 773-897-6179, 773-897-6179. Oh, boy. Now the big question is, and this is our second question. This one comes from Dan on our Facebook world. Thanks, Dan, for your question here. The playoff expansion. He wants the playoff expanded to 8 teams. I have no argument with that. I've already talked with people today on Facebook about it and commented about it. And my thoughts are simply this. I think it should go to 8 teams. I think there should be the 5 conference champions should get automatic bids. And then you get 3 at-large bids, whether that be a team from a non-Power 5 or a second team from another Power 5 conference. You know, if it needs to be 2 SEC teams from the Power 5 or from the SEC and get them into the playoff, if that's how it's got to work, fine. Take 8 teams, seed those teams, take all those bids and seed those bids. Stop leaving this up to a committee. This committee, first of all, they may have gotten it right, but my goodness, the way they got to it, we all know how controversial and how just a mess that was how they got to it. Open it up to 8 teams, that cleans this up. I know some people have to know, then you have number 9, number 10 complaining about it. Win your conference and don't be put in that position where you're hoping to get an at-large bid. Simple as that. It's not that difficult. So, Dan, I like your idea of an 8-team playoff. I think it's great. Details on that and how you would do it. Again, my opinion, those 5 conference champions as automatic bids and 3 at-large bids. And then look at what happened this season. Look how great this college football playoff ended up, how it turned out. So many of ESPN's analysts, everybody's talking about if this had been the BCS still, if this season had been BCS, it would have been Florida State and Alabama in the national championship game. And who knows, Alabama probably would have won that game given the way Florida State's been playing. And then we'd be talking about another SEC championship game or an SEC team winning and the SEC being a very dominant conference again. Open it up to more teams, and then you have a true champion. Right now you're open up to 4 teams. Who's to say TCU didn't have an argument in this? I mean, TCU played an incredible season. Oh, they didn't win their conference. They tied. The conference commissioner even came out and said they tied. They're co-conference champions. Now, I think if the committee had come out and said, no, we're only going to select 1, so you better pick 1. Baylor obviously gets the head-to-head. Baylor comes up short against Michigan State in their bowl game. Again, you're telling me, though, TCU, Baylor, Florida State, Oregon, Ohio State, Alabama, throw in a Michigan State, throw in a Mississippi State or Georgia Tech. Who doesn't want to see all those teams square off in a playoff? Does everybody like the way the NFL playoff system works? I think most people do. I think most fans do with the NFL. Do college football fans have a problem with the way the NFL does it? There's no committee selecting teams. There are rules in place. And if a team finishes first in their division, they're going. No matter how weak that division is, no matter if you go 9-7, 8-8, if you win your division, you're in. Look at the New York Giants a few seasons back. I think they legitimately had a regular season, 9-7, and they peaked at the right time and won the Super Bowl. Ohio State, 6 weeks into the season, they were not the best team in the country. 3 weeks into the season, they weren't the best team in the country. 7 weeks, they probably weren't even the best team in the country. That team peaked at the right time. Not just the quarterback situation, the entire team. The defense peaked at the right time. The offense peaked at the right time. And I'm talking about offensive linemen and the players around the quarterback. They all made plays and peaked at the right time. The quarterback, that's... insert a quarterback is all I can say. They played two different quarterbacks all season, and they were their second and third string quarterbacks. That's just incredible to me that they still did that. I think the playoff expansion, I think we'll be talking that here in a few years. Won't come that quickly. Thanks, Dan, for your question there. All right. I mentioned National Signing Day recruiting coming up. That's coming up in February. And why is that important? Well, where does Alabama and Florida State go after disappointing losses in the playoff, especially Florida State with their disappointing showing to Oregon? Where do those two teams fit in? Are they going to be competing for a national championship next year? Where do they go on National Signing Day? What do they get? Well, if history has shown anything over the last 4 to 5 seasons, 6 seasons with Nick Saban, that is, this guy, both programs, they can recruit. They've recruited at a high level. They're going to fill their holes, and they're going to get it. They're going to get it done. Holes on offense, holes on defense, wherever it is, they're going to finish in that top 3 or 4 spots. Alabama's most likely to secure number 1 again. And that's the beauty of the recruiting and how important recruiting and National Signing Day is. Your team is going to reload. When you have been at the top of the recruiting rankings for the last 3 to 4 years, 5 seasons, you're rotating guys is all you're doing. You're getting 4 and 5 star athletes every season. You're going to be fine. You're going to reload. Now, Florida State's problems, Florida State's issues, I don't think they can fill those with the recruits coming in. Their issues are on the coaching staff. I'm calling out their defensive coordinator, Charles Kelly. I know Florida State fans are furious with him, and I know there have been several articles written out there to defend Charles Kelly, saying, oh, they lost so much NFL talent. That's a bigger problem than what happened this season. No, it's not. They've brought in star players, big-name players, athletes, great players, raw talent. They've got stars all over that defense. Don't believe me. Watch what comes out of the draft this year with the players that are leaving early for the draft. Something is wrong with that defense, and it's not the players. Charles Kelly is not the answer. Florida State's been through 3 defensive coordinators in just as many years. Charles Kelly is. I mean, I guess they're gonna retain him. Obviously, Jimbo Fisher is gonna keep him for another season. But, man, he's not the answer. We'll talk. Obviously, that'll be a growing storyline, a big-time storyline going into next season. We'll talk more about that National Signing Day, obviously. Alabama's issues, I've said this. I'll say it again. We'll move on. Alabama, they'll be able to fill their holes. No problem. They'll have another guy step in. They'll have another running back step in. They'll have another NFL size offensive line coming back. The defense is where they need to fix some issues, and I really think that's because just they had some younger players. They needed to develop that, and they're still feeling the loss, I think, of Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt was a great defensive guy for Alabama. This was his second season gone from Alabama, and I think you're starting to see that a little bit. And I think Nick Saban, he's probably got to step up to the plate a little bit more, do a little bit more than what he did when Jeremy Pruitt was there. I think they'll get it back. They'll get back to being good again. Look, Alabama's not dropping off anytime soon. Oregon. Where does Oregon go from this loss to Ohio State? I mentioned it before the first break. And that was, they've got to find a defense. They've got to get bigger. I don't want to say they need to get faster. I think they got the speed. They definitely have the speed. But they got to get bigger. That's been the ingredient on how to beat Oregon. That Stanford did it a couple years ago. They lined up with two tight ends and just pounded them 3 and 4 yards a carry, sometimes popped a 5, 6, 7 yarder. And they ran the clock, and they controlled the tempo of the game. They kept off the offense off the field for Oregon. And that's the ingredient to beat them. I said before the national championship game, the ingredient for Ohio State would be to run the football, control the tempo in that game. Amazing enough as it is, they turned the ball over still, but Ohio State's defense was still more physical and still was able to, you know, they held Oregon. They had 3 or 4 trips to the red zone in the first half and only walked away with 1 touchdown. Oregon's got to get bigger, and they've got to play more physical on defense. And I don't know if that's just something they want to ignore and say, no, this is what's worked. This is what's doing it for us. Eventually, we'll get our championship. Well, until then, keep looking at that O on your field, at the center of your field, that represents how many national championships you have. Doesn't stand for Oregon. It stands for how many national championships you have. Yes, shots fired. Shots fired. Oh, I'm just a bitter Florida State fan after that Oregon game. No, I'm not bitter at all. I predicted that game. We're going to take another quick break. We are at 7:30, 8:30 Eastern. We've got 30 minutes left. Let's open up these phone lines again for College Football Trivia Night, 773-897-6179. You can call in. We'll get you right on, 773-897-6179. You're listening to College Football Today live, powered by the fans. Welcome back into College Football Today live, powered by the fans. Somebody laughed jokingly, sent me another message saying, you should have sponsors. You should get some people to sponsor you. You should get some sponsors and you just, yeah. I'm working on that. Right now we've got, let's see. here you go. One of our sponsors. College Football Today Live is brought to you by Arlen Hotel. We're not that kind of hotel anymore. Yes. Yes. Little King of the Hill reference there. Great show. I love that show. Steve on Facebook says, can I play trivia? You just post the question to Facebook and then I answer. No, you can't do that. No, you call in for the trivia. I can't trust you just to maybe post it to Facebook and, oh, let's see who gets the right answer. And if you want to chime in, 773-897-6179. 773-897-6179. Wow, what a season it's been. It's been a great season. I told everybody at the beginning, and I know some of you out there are probably tired of me saying it, but it was going to be a historical season, and here it was. It was just that. Ohio State completing a great season and just a great story for that program, great story for Urban Meyer. Now joins Nick Saban at winning national championships at two different schools. That's no easy feat. And congrats to him. And I think they're going to be competing for one next season. Early Vegas numbers. Speaking of two early top 2015 national championship picks, early Vegas has opened up their pool for it, and they're betting 9-2 are the odds for Ohio State making the national championship, winning the national championship next year, 9-2. For those Florida State fans listening, it's 16-1 odds on you guys. No Jameis Winston. Don't have to worry about shaving the points anymore. We'll see how that goes, though. 16-1 odds. All right. Marcus Mariota's draft stock. I've been in a heated debate with some people about what kind of quarterback Marcus Mariota could be at the next level, and just what they're really looking for in a college quarterback to be the NFL, an NFL-type quarterback. The thing that jumps out about Marcus Mariota and what you've watched in the national championship game and you could watch all season long, based on, depending on what team they're playing, obviously, but something about him, when he's in the pocket, and I know some people disagree with me here, but when he's in the pocket, he does not look comfortable, and he does not make great throws within the pocket. That's not a Florida State fan. That's not me being critical. That's fact. That's what you can look at. That's what you can see when you're looking at it. That's the eye test. What does he do when he's in the pocket? Look, what he does outside the pocket, I won't question him. He can hit a wide-open receiver on a busted play, no problem. Or on a design play that just has a busted coverage, he can hit him wide open, no problem. We saw that in the national championship game. He could hit wide-open guys all day long. He squeezed some into tight windows on an occasion. But if you're looking at him, NFL scouts got to be looking at him. There's a reason he's not the – look, he might be the number one pick. He might be. But I can't help and I can't sit by and truly believe the NFL scouts are looking at this guy and saying, yes, he's got the NFL arm. He can make the NFL throws, and he's already at that point. No, he's got a big upside. Maybe somebody can teach him. I think that's what they're looking at, is maybe he can be taught to do those things and taught to read a defense and throw with anticipation. Because he's not throwing wide receivers wide open. He's not throwing wide receivers open out of coverage. That's the difference between him and, say, Jameis Winston. Everybody's rolling their eyes now. You're talking about Jameis Winston. Well, of course I am. He's the other most highly anticipated quarterback coming out of the college football this year and going into the draft. Jameis Winston, the biggest difference between Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, and I'm not talking about statistics, I'm not talking about interceptions, the TD ratio, I'm not talking about any of that. Jameis Winston can read a defense, and he can throw with anticipation, and he can throw a guy open. Those are the biggest differences, and that's why I think And again, I'm not saying Jameis Winston's going to go in there. Jameis Winston's got a lot to learn. He's got a lot to deal with. He's got a lot to worry about going into the NFL. But that is why I think Jameis Winston, you feel better about that talent versus what Marcus Mariota brings to the table. Scrambling quarterbacks, system quarterbacks, do not work in the NFL. Look at RG3. There's one for you right there. And then let's look at Tim Tebow. I had somebody, and we were discussing our Facebook page earlier, saying Tim Tebow, hey, he got a bad rap in the NFL. He not only had a pretty good NFL record, but his stats weren't too bad either. I'm sorry. No, after looking at the stats, look, he did get a bad rap. Teams did not give him a legitimate chance to grow. That's on the NFL. That's on the teams. That's on the coaches. But there's a reason for that. They saw something in him that was not clicking, that was not going to work with him. Maybe it was the fact that in his two seasons with the Broncos, he was sacked 40 times, and he fumbled the ball 13 times, and he threw 9 interceptions and only had 12 passing touchdowns. Sure, he had some rushing touchdowns. Those are great. When you fumble it 13 times and throw nine interceptions, and you have below 48% completion percentage, that stands out to other NFL teams that look at him and go, no. I love Tim Tebow as a person. He's a great person, great morals. You couldn't ask for a better person. Great personality, great role model, great example, great heart, great sportsmanship, great everything except quarterback skills. I personally think it's because he throws with the wrong hand. Okay. Let's reel it in. Marcus Mariota, NFL draft. Look, he's going to go high. He's a Heisman winner. He's flashy. He makes big plays. He scrambles. He extends plays. Of course, he's going to have a chance and an opportunity to grow and be good in the NFL. I'm just telling you what I think of him early on. I tell you what, if somebody was to draft him and want him to take a year in and just grow, I think then I'd give him a better shot. The trouble is with these first-round draft picks and these first-round quarterbacks that you're going to draft, you're not drafting them to let them grow for a season. You want to throw them right into the fire, and that's why we have washed-up quarterbacks every couple seasons. That's why you have players that end up like that. Maybe that's why Tim Tebow, you got to give these players a chance to grow and get better, and sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes these players go to a really bad team, and they're expected to go in there and have a phenomenal first season for a rookie, I should say. And, you know, when they're getting hit a dozen times a game because they play on a bad team, it doesn't help them. All right. We've got a couple of calls to get to here. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll tackle some college football trivia, hopefully. And you're listening to College Football Today Live, powered by the fans. Welcome back into College Football Live, powered by the fans. We've got Richard on the line. Richard, thanks for calling tonight. How are you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Waiting for my wife to pop out that baby still.
Should be any day now.
That's right. Should be any day. All right. What do you got for me?
I just wanted to bring up, you were talking about Mariota and his draft stock. And after the championship game, I don't think that his draft stock fell, personally. That's because I don't think it was as high as people thought it was to begin with. I think Oregon relied a lot on turnovers and that they didn't turn the ball over. And Mariota did just that. He reminded me of Alex Smith.
I could see that.
And not saying Alex Smith throws wide open guys in the NFL, but he manages the game, doesn't turn the ball over. And that's how his team wins. I saw the same thing out of Mariota. Of course, he put numbers up, but he put numbers up playing just, piss poor pass defenses. And I don't know. I'm just not a big Mariota fan. I think Winston goes before him. And I also think there's a few other quarterbacks that I would take over him, personally.
Gotcha. All right. Do you want to give this trivia a shot?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Hey, you know, look, some of these you might have a 50-50 shot, or some of them, you know, might be multiple choice. You know, we can roll with this. You'll be all right. I have faith in you.
All right.
So we'll roll out the first one. The first one is a true or false. So you got a 50-50 shot here. True or false? Larry Coker won a BCS title at Miami in just his second season. True or false?
I know he won it in Miami. I don't
know
if it was his second season, but I'll go with true because I know he won it.
Oh, false. False. It was in his first season. It was in his
first
season. Yes, I know that. No, I did the double take on that too. I thought, first season. Wow, he took over after was it Butch Davis? Yes, Butch Davis. I think that's right. I hope I'm right. Otherwise, I just told a lot of people that I don't know anything about college football with Butch Davis. But we'll press on. Let's give it another go. Let's give it another go.
All right.
Missouri. This is also true or false. Missouri has never been to a BCS bowl game. True or false?
I'll go with true.
That is correct. That is correct. I like it. All right. Yes, that's right. We have a correct bell. All right. We'll go with this next question here. Third and final question. Where did Mack Brown coach before landing at Texas? What team, what program was he at before landing at Texas? I'll give you a hint. He was in the ACC.
I'm not sure about this. It's either State or North Carolina, but I'll go with North Carolina.
North Carolina is correct. I love it. Great job there. All right. Do you have anything special you want to say as the winner of the first trivia answer there? I know I told people before and earlier in the show.
I know.
Said,
I got the first one wrong.
One, you're wrong. You know, you're out. But I decided, you know, hey, let's have fun with it. I'll give you three questions. You got two out of three. You deserve something here. So congratulations. Do you have anything you want to say to all the other listeners out there?
No,
like
I just
roll
felt
tide.
Like I just felt like Mizzou didn't make it to a BCS because they were garbage in the Big 12, and although they find success in the SEC, that's just obvious. And then, but we know they haven't been to a BCS. And I'm a Texas fan, so I knew Brown was somewhere over there.
See, I thought you would. As soon as I asked that, I said, you know what? I think he'll get that one. Well, I appreciate you tuning in, David, and I hope you keep listening, and we'll holler back at you. I appreciate everything you do on our Facebook page as well.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Yep.
All right.
I think I called him David there. His name's Richard. Shame on me. All right. We'll take another quick break. We got another couple phone calls to get to here. Again, if you want to chime in, play a little college ball trivia, we still got time. 773-897-6179, 773-897-6179. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to College Wall today, powered by the fans. College Wall today live, powered by the fans. We've got Chandler here on the line. He wants to bring up a topic. I hadn't talked about it yet. I'm glad that he brings this up because it's got to do with the TV ratings of the national championship game, and they smashed. I mean, they were in the – just broke the records there for the ratings on national championship game. Go ahead, Chandler. Go ahead.
Hey, Jeremy, I appreciate you taking my call, bud. I really have enjoyed being on the site this year. Thanks for setting all that up for us. Really had a great time with it. Yeah, my question was, you're very welcome. The rating, and don't quote me on this, I'm not exactly sure. I don't have it in front of me. The rating last night was a 17.8 share. That's the highest broadcast ESPN has ever pulled, highest number. It's the highest rated college football broadcast on cable ever. That it breaks the 16.4 that Auburn and Oregon got 2-3 years ago. My question is, why do you think they have that game on ESPN instead of ABC? In other words, on a cable outlet instead of a regular broadcast channel, which would have more access, more recognition. And I think if they would move that game to ABC from ESPN, you'd see those ratings go up by 30 or 40%, just with my experience working in media a little bit.
I agree with you 100% there. And again, I was really glad that you brought that up because, and I never really thought about it because it used to be on ABC a lot. That was all it was ever on, correct? I mean, I'm just going off memory
correct here.
I think it was. Yeah, I thought it was always on.
ESPN actually bought out ABC about 4 or 5 years ago, and they've started – well, they haven't started. They've completely phased out ABC Sports. And if you notice next fall when you watch a game on ABC, the logo at the bottom will say ESPN on ABC.
Right, right.
So
yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, that's a corporate thing. ESPN is actually the parent company of ABC now. But that's still – going to provide them with a higher, media reach and get to more people than they would on cable. I I don't know.
Yeah, no, I have to agree there. I mean, simply because there are those people out there that don't want to have cable, they don't want to have DirecTV, and they want to be off the grid when it comes to that kind of stuff. And,
sure.
You know, they have to tune in via watching it over the internet or streaming it from their PC or their iPad or something like that. I'm with you, though, because there's still a lot of people out there that just don't have that stuff and probably didn't get to watch the game.
Well,
I know it's growing.
Studies have shown also
season.
That if you've got the same content on a cable channel or a traditional broadcast channel, more people will watch it for some reason still on the traditional channel. That's just a tendency that goes back, you know, 30, 40 years in our culture and hasn't completely gone away yet. Maybe they're trying to get rid of that tendency and, you know, cable more of the mainstream, but still they're cutting themselves out of sponsorship and ratings, the bottom line. It makes no sense to me to do it still.
All right, Chandler, let's get into some college football trivia. What do you think about that?
I'm all over it, man. What you got?
All right. I'm going to go ahead with three questions. They'll range anywhere from true, false, multiple choice, to basically you just got it. You got to tell me. So
okay.
We'll start off with, there are four independent FBS schools. Name all four.
You got me in a little bit of a quandary here. Does that still include Notre Dame?
Yes, Notre Dame is one.
Okay. Navy?
That's correct. Navy is another.
Drawing a blank on the other two. Give me just a second.
Oh. I feel like I should be playing some music in the background here to make it a little bit more stressful.
Jeopardy.
Now, you said Notre Dame, and you said
correct.
Navy, correct?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to give you a little hint here. If Navy's one, then this other one that I'm thinking of has to be one, right?
Word Army, but I thought they were in CUSA, if that's still in existence.
Nope.
Okay.
We're gonna go ahead and buzz you on the first one here. So Notre
Got
Dame
me.
Navy, you were right there. Army was another.
I said Army.
I didn't hear you say. Did you say Navy?
Yeah.
Or Army?
I said you're leading me toward Army, but I thought they were in CUSA.
Okay, well, BYU is the other one. You didn't get it.
Okay, I wouldn't have got
there
that
you go.
One anyway.
All right.
I'll stop arguing
thinking,
with
man,
now.
Jeremy's
go
an
ahead.
Idiot. He said it. Okay, we'll move on. Since 1984, who has been Nebraska's only Heisman winner? Now, this is multiple choice. So here's your four choices. Tommy Frazier, Mike Rozier, Irving Fryer, Eric Crouch.
Eric Crouch.
He's right. Eric Crouch. It's hard to believe Tommy Frazier didn't get one while he was there. Tommy Frazier was incredible.
He,
and I know a certain
remember he had the blood thinner issue. He never played a full season that I remember. Who was the
I think you're right.
quarterback? Bollinger that came in to replace him in those years in 94 and 95. Yeah, Brooks Bollinger was that guy. That's right.
All right. Anyway. Third and final question. Which of the following was an actual bowl game? Here's your four choices.
Okay.
You'll like this one. I like this one. The Paper Bowl, the Cereal Bowl, the Toilet Bowl, or the Salad Bowl?
That's a good one. I'll say Salad.
You're going with Salad Bowl?
Yes.
Is that your final answer?
Maybe it shouldn't be, but yes, it is.
Two for three, the
wow.
Salad Bowl. Yes, there was a Salad Bowl. I rolled my eyes at that, and I just thought, no. Picture was at the end of the game, they were just dumping big bowls of lettuce onto the field like confetti. That's all I could picture when I thought of the salad bowl. I know that's terrible. Chandler, thanks for calling, man. And yes, it does. Thanks for calling in, bud, and thanks for being on our Facebook page. I know we have some great discussions there. Sure, there's plenty more to discuss over the long off season it will be.
It's not even signing day yet, man. What are you talking about?
I know. Don't remind me of that.
All right, man.
You have a good
care.
Night. Thanks for calling in. Yep, I will do.
Do the same. Thanks.
All right. You know, I was going to get into some BCS era trivia. We didn't quite have as many callers to get into that, but I was going to dive into some of that. It's been fun, though. We had a fun show. Ran a little long tonight, a little past, but you know what? It was well worth it. I love talking with the fans. Love having a good time with you guys and talking college football. And, you know, again, I want to thank all of our fans and followers this season that joined College Football Today, our Facebook page, our web page, everything that you guys have done for us to participate and follow the page. It's been a real, real pleasure, a lot of fun, and I look forward to doing it in the future. And now, look, I'm getting flooded. I got three questions here all at the last minute on Facebook, and they all want to know, is the baby here yet? No. Not. If it was, I would not be here live right now. So for those of you that have not kept up, my wife is 39-4 today. I know she'd be proud of me for remembering right down to the day. 39-4. For those that don't get that, it's 39 weeks and 4 days. She is due January 16th with our first. We're having a baby girl. And, you know, right now it's been fun just to try to schedule a show because I've said, okay, I'm going to schedule this show and we're going to do this show. And then she looks at me and says, so I shouldn't have the baby that day, right? And I just laugh. I say, you have it whenever you're good and ready. So, no baby yet. I'll keep everybody posted. I certainly appreciate everybody's thoughts and prayers on that. And again, huge shout out and thanks to all of you, our fans and followers. We will continue the podcast through the off season. May not be as often as every week, but we will certainly keep you posted on College Football Today's Facebook page, and we will continue to do that, especially around National Signing Day and around spring football with all the excitement that goes on there. As long as I'm not just completely lost and lose my mind and go into a complete and total state of depression of how to deal with this baby that's coming. All right. Again, thanks, everyone. It's been a great show. We will do it again. College Wall Trivia had a lot of fun with that, and we will do it again. So maybe we'll get more callers, more guys participating next time. You've listened to College Wall Today live, powered by the fans, and I mean that, powered by the fans. It's all about you guys. I appreciate everybody's support. We will catch you next time. Everybody have a good rest of the week, and enjoy your Ohio State Buckeyes national champions of the 2014 season.